Hey, what's up? It's Black and Jew Podcast, episode 39. It's 38.
Fuck
you said
Reggie.
38.
You fucking asshole.
From the start. It's episode 38, guys, not 39.
He did it on purpose.
No, I didn't. What did I do?
The worst podcasting partner ever.
You don't tell me what number it is. I tell you what number it is. This is episode 500. If I goddamn say it's episode 500.
That's why we put the three digits in there.
Yeah, you know? We should just start. I should just start just pulling out numbers from a hat and saying what number.
You really episode. Should keep on with adding one, because then it makes us as listeners feel like there's a mystery episode out there that we can't find.
We should record
episode 999.
We should record a mystery episode, like one, just a very dark episode where like shit happens. Like we have porn stars on it. There's like a crime is committed, and it's just somewhere in the ether.
That would be great.
Well, the illegal episode. The illegal episode. All right, so we need to announce our guests.
Yes,
because we have a guest. If you hear another name, it's Quills.
Yes,
Quills. Owner, proprietor of Artistic Vibes, one of my favorite venues in
Miami.
One
of the best venues.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Thank
you. If not the best.
Right?
Yes, because...
Voted
number best, one open mic by Miami New Times.
That's yes, right, for 2014.
2014.
That's right. That was great. We love you guys. You're two of our favorite acts
and
that come
you
here.
Got a podcast. Aww, thank you. You got a podcast now, right?
Yes. Yes, we do.
The Talking Geek.
The Talking Geek podcast. Yeah.
Nice. I do my research. I Google.
I know. I like it.
I saw your invite. That's my research. I'm like, oh, yeah.
And
a podcast.
Here we go. Yeah. We just started that. We just actually released our first episode this week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't. Is it on iTunes yet?
Well, no, because we just got our first one, okay. But the application's been put through.
It took me a few days.
Yeah,
to do
I think it's like 48 hours.
Yeah,
iTunes,
something
go
like
figure.
That. But I'll listen to it as soon as it's on iTunes.
Yeah. I like the
I'm not
thought that
fiddle
there's
with
like
my Safari on my phone. Come on,
there's some person out there in iTunes that listens to podcasts constantly to check if they're like explicit or non-explicit, and if like they can go on.
I wish I believed that they did that. I don't even really think that they do.
I think they're just making sure it's not like the Vagina, Dick, and Balls podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Clitoris Mizzou or some shit, you know?
Although that would be a really interesting podcast. I actually might check that out.
I'm Clitoris Mizzou, and welcome to the Dick and Balls podcast.
Clitoris Mizzou probably does have a lot of professionalism when it comes to Dick and Balls.
Like, yeah.
Like, he is the... professional. He is the guy to go to for Dick and Balls.
I think the rule is I saw in the contract or whatever is that like it can't be like a really sexually explicit podcast, but like you can be profane and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can be explicit.
And you can get pulled if you don't put explicit on an explicit episode.
They will take that episode out, definitely.
Yeah,
that's happened before on an accident.
Because
all of ours are explicit.
Yeah, I always mark it, but you know, just in case the tag doesn't happen.
Then there you go. But
I hope I'm doing that with the new.
Because
I'm Podomatic. I was just thinking, I'm like, they got a new upload interface, you know?
Yeah, I saw
so
that.
So hopefully I'm not fucking it up.
Yeah, because we're on Podomatic as well, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, we are.
It's a little Podomatic.
Great, little Podomatic neighbors.
Right. I am sitting here. I'm going to miss this place so much.
It's going to miss you, I promise. It's
Mike like, has expressed a lot that if he ever gains any traction as a comic, like if he gets some notoriety, he wants to hold the show here just so that way you guys can pay rent.
It's already
like,
on. Like,
I want to write
date.
It. Like this is like a pipe dream because for me to be able to do that would take at least a decade probably, but like...
We'll be here. You know?
Yeah, hopefully.
I hope so too. Yeah, no, so too.
You guys will be here. You're an institution.
You are an institution.
Like, there was like that scare once we got voted like best open mic in 2014. There's like a legend out there that anybody who was voted the next year, they're no longer in business.
Really?
It's what? Happened for the last three open mics that won.
No way.
Gone. Vagabonds, gone.
Oh, Vagabond. Like, well,
but they all won.
They
and
won.
They were
Vagabond,
like,
we would win every year. Yeah.
There's not that many open mics.
I know, right? I guess not. But they were.
Was Stone Groove voted best open mic?
Yes, they were.
Oh, they were. Okay.
Yeah. So there was a few that I was just like, okay, great. Now I'm a little scared.
Like, if this place goes away, I'll be upset. Like, I don't really get emotional about rooms closing ever. But if this place, because this place is like it's weird because I came in here and I was just going to the bathroom and like I was just looking at you have like a little I don't know what it's called the thing that holds like the scented candles or whatever the fuck I don't know I want to say lattice work but I know that's not what it is. It's not called lattice work. It's a shelf.
Holder?
It's a shelf.
Yeah,
that's
there's
what
a
I'm
shelf
looking for.
Over the
that's,
toilet.
That's how my interior design like my interior design vernacular is so poor
that you
that
couldn't
I
identify
can't think
a shelf.
A shelf
right.
Like took like, me
well,
a second
because
to,
once it didn't
to
hold
muster.
Books and only candles, it changes what the shelf is. Yeah, exactly. I mean, automatically there's a new name for it.
It's a candle shelf. And I was like, I'm like, man, I've looked at this so many times before going up. Like, I feel like I'm leaving home, you know?
Aww.
Because it's like, it's like an amazing, that's, and that's how you make a, everyone feel.
I have that same feeling with like the picture of like the Beatles in the bathroom, and then you also have like I think Frank Sinatra's in the bathroom.
Yeah, we have all of like the like, old school artists.
I always use the bathroom at least once whenever I come here, and then you know I pass by and look at them, and it's somewhat like reaffirming. Not to like, one, it says, hey, I'm here at Vibes, you know, and then two, it's like, look at all these greats, and now outside of the bathroom door, and then you see people doing their thing, and like, this has such a great atmosphere and environment to it, and it's only grown since the first time I came here.
We've definitely grown. We've only been open for 2.5 years.
I feel indebted to you guys, to be honest.
You are not at all. I mean, you know,
I feel like I am, because
now I know where I'm staying when I go to LA. Like, I can like pull out this card and be like, hey, you remember
great,
how you felt indebted
a great discount
to us
at the Holiday Inn if you ever come.
But that was kind of our goal when we started. When Vanessa and I had this dream, it was to take care of the artists, and part of that was bringing an audience and a feel of community. Which is family, and making everybody feel like they're part of a family. It's not, and it grows and grows and grows. It's not too, we try not to be clicky. Everyone's part of the family. Yeah, we just keep widening our arms bigger and bigger and bigger and fitting more of them into our weirdness.
Yeah, there needs to be, I feel like there needs to be like some sort of like, some coming together, some cohesion between like all the arts that are here in Miami, because there's, I don't want to say there's very few, but I feel like there's
very few. There's a few. And the scene here is hard.
And it's very fragmented, and like,
it's getting there, you know? Yeah, it's like, it's getting there.
It's,
like,
it's slowly funneling.
Pretty much any scene in Miami, like if you look at the culinary scene, if you look at the visual art scene with the galleries and stuff, like, it's, Miami's on the up and up right now. It's kind of like a Miami's cultural revolution, except without Mao Zedong or whatever. Yeah.
Although I'll agree with you in the sense of feeling fragmented. I feel like the Broward scene has a more cohesion within its own rooms, venues, bookers.
You're saying comedy or just in general?
Majority comedy, but in general, just because they do that there, it kind of spills over across the board. I think that people are more retentive and really more of a community. I do feel that Miami's so used to being competitive that we end up, even though we're all aiming towards the same mission and aiming towards the same goal, we're doing it on our own paths.
And there's a lot of ego involved.
A lot of ego.
Like for stupid shit. Just like people posturing or like, you know, talking shit or trying to bring somebody down for no reason. Like, I understand, like, I wouldn't condone it, but like, if, like, let's say you're a big corporation like McDonald's and you're trying to stamp out Burger King, you know, okay, that's one thing, you know,
like, yeah,
maybe
like
you'll
the little guys,
you'll maybe you'll lobby for legislation together to make, you know, meat products, make sure that they're, you know, maybe it has a few trimmings in it that you don't want to disclose, whatever. But for the most part, you're trying to stamp each other out. But like in the art scene, it's like, if you're doing good, I'm doing good, they're doing good. Like, it's like you got to bring it together. But I think there's a lot of ego sometimes in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's more like, if you're doing good, now I need to do better.
Yeah.
And you need to do bad. Like, it's not like, I don't mind competition to a certain degree because it keeps everybody on their toes. Like, even as artists, if you see somebody, as a comedian, if you see a comedian that's better than you, you want to be better. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you want them to be bad. You just want to be better. So I like competition in that essence of making sure that you're always, you know, coming up with something fresh and something crisp. But I don't, when it's that ego where it's like, no, I don't, it's not that I don't want to be better. I want to be better and you're gone.
Yeah.
And now I'm the only awesome god.
That's so toxic.
I am the alpha and omega of Mike scenes.
I think of it like golf competitiveness, you know, because it's like, you don't, it's not basketball where you gotta like take the other dude down. You're competing against yourself, but in competing against yourself, you're competing against other people. And that's how I think of the arts, and especially stand-up comedy. It's like that too, because if someone does good, if someone does good and I came up in the scene with them, that's only good for me.
There's nothing
bad. For me, you know?
And I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, no, and it's just valuable, as there's never been any artistic community. Like, if you look at, like, writers of, like, Hemingway or, like, Fitzgerald's generation, they all palled around.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, Dadaist artists, they all went to the same cafe. Like, having a community is the way you build aesthetics in any field of art that you're in.
Yeah.
And, like, with things like comedy, which is, like, honestly, it's, like, with how small our community is, to want to, like, be a flower and have weeds like pulled from around you, you're only hurting. Like, no one's gonna go to an open mic with only one comic that goes there, you know.
No,
like,
definitely no, just... not. And you're absolutely right, and that's kind of why we're here, you know, keep growing the scene and not being that, and hopefully eventually more starts to realize, oh, we can still do this and not do that, you know, and yeah. not be so anti everybody else and just in what you're in for, which is why we work with a lot of groups here and places that don't have homes and yeah. people that don't have their own space. Come.
And that's why people, and then you're fostering, you're nurturing this thing where people feel like this, like, you know, loyalty to you. Like, I have like an immense sense of loyalty with you, you know, like with Artistic Vibes. Like,
and I appreciate that. And I'm yeah. glad that you do, because, and for those that show that for us, we're kind of the same way back. Like, whatever you need, you yeah, need yeah. something. Mm-hmm. Do you not need something here?
Still waiting on those Fiji waters, but,
sorry, Perrier is the way to know.
Perrier, get out of here.
Pellegrino, please.
I'm not going to, that filthy European peasant water.
I'm so hood. I like Hialeah tap water.
From the islands, from the islands, man, like Fiji. All the way out there.
But yeah, so I'm glad. I like when people feel loyal, when it's not forced, when you mm-hmm. feel that then we did our job as a venue and as a family to have that kind of sense of yeah. that we owe you as an artist, and you in turn also kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
So then there's a friendship that's, you know, like I always say, like a lot of people don't know. I don't think that a lot of artists in this community know the venue owners as close as some of you guys know me and Vanessa.
Oh,
like,
of course
we're
not.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. we are real people. We're not just like this balloon that's kind of like above the venue and mm-hmm. doing it. You know us. You've yeah. been here.
Not some shadowy figure in the background.
yeah, like,
no, you and Vanessa are the people that greet, the people that host.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we do a little bit of everything so that you kind of really do have that sense of a feel that there is some sort of camaraderie. Too much coffee.
Yeah.
but yeah, so that's awesome.
That's how you treat people, you know? And I feel indebted because it's like, you know, you go through so much work to keep this place open. You know, you teach your little like classes with little kids during the day, and then at night you're facilitating with all the drunken debauchery.
Taking kids at night too. We take care of kids at night.
Yeah, yeah. You take care of kids at night. Maybe sometimes a little less mature than the kids that are during the day.
Definitely.
For the children's acting classes. And like, you know, and I just pretty much come here and just do my thing and then go home and don't have to put any effort into it whatsoever in maintaining the place. So it's like you give me this venue to work on my thing. And
then there's this yeah. whole other thing so happening in the background.
Oh,
that
yeah.
You're running around zipping. How did this like all like start? You were talking about yeah. like it was you and Vanessa's dream. And then
yeah,
let's go back in the Wayback
Machine.
Let's go
way back.
From the beginning.
Vanessa and I kind of always, especially Vanessa, like right out of college and stuff, kind of started working with theaters, and she was going to school for acting. I was gone. But once we got together and we were both artists and both in the world, we kind of got tired of Miami audiences. I'm talking about like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I was looking for rooms to start doing my poetry at, and there yeah. was nothing. Like there was maybe one room in the beach. There was maybe one room here. So it was becoming really frustrating. Vanessa got really tired of seeing nobody in theater audiences and checking out these amazing shows that were happening in their backyard. So we kind of decided to just put a show together. We knew so many artists in the community having been in the world for so long.
Yeah.
And we decided to actually really just sneak attack audience members. We got a mom and pop restaurant. We asked for their slowest night to give back to the community. Give a mom and pop, give us a Monday night. Yeah. You are going to get business you don't normally get. Give us a space for free. And we would do monthly book shows and market drink specials. Oh, yeah, you want to come? Yeah, come. Yeah. You're going to get $2 beers. Oh, and you're going to get $5 shots, but you have no idea what you're coming for. We called the show Art Attack.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It was like, oh, by the way, you're having a good time. And here's some poetry, and here's some comedy, and here's some music. And 2 years of doing that monthly and really selling out our shows.
That's like guerrilla open mics. That's what's going on there.
We started booking yeah. them. Then we started booking them and promoting them. And really that was at like the peak of where Facebook was essential to businesses. We really grew a lot because of the early social media outlets that was
yeah,
happening.
Yeah.
Before
and what
we
year
got
was
flooded.
This? Do you know?
Five years ago. Yeah, five years ago.
2009?
Yeah.
2009. All right.
So, and then after that, like 2 years doing that, Vanessa got a call one day that this space that we are sitting in opened up. She came out. I didn't even know about it. She just yeah. showed up at home and said, hey, I found this place. And by the way, I have the key in my hand. We just got to make the decision. I was like, okay, well. And it was just, I was a paralegal full time yeah. before for any of this. That's what I was doing. Vanessa was working for a digital company. You know, we all had, and it was like next day. It was just rush. In a week, we had to open up the space, paint the walls, and get business going, and quit our jobs, and make the leap that you're making. You're going to LA. That was your leap. Our leap was letting go of our apartment, our cars, our everything that we had worked on after college. Everything that we were like, oh, this is what society says you're supposed to have.
Yeah, like finally, we got it.
I have everything. I had a brand new car, had a nice apartment, my pets.
We might get a dog. I can't wait. Exactly. Maybe something good will happen.
And then now, I was like, oh no, who needs any of this? I want to do art.
We have an artistic space.
Exactly. I want to be a starving artist.
I want to hear a bunch of insecure guys talk about their dicks.
Yeah, I want to hear dick jokes and snap to some poetry. That was what we did.
The dick joke. The foie gras. It really helps my insecurity.
I'm gonna let you guys in on a little secret and a secret for your listeners. When we built the new stage, you guys have been performing on a penis this entire time since the new stage was here.
Really?
We drew a big penis in the middle of the stage before we painted over it.
Performing on top of a penis, not just for porn anymore.
I thought the foundation was a penis. Like you put the planks of wood
in a shape because it was.
It just worked. Out logistic, like it worked out structurally.
The essence of dick for the dick jokes
is right there beneath your feet.
So you I guess I started going here around the time, not too far after you opened, right?
Yeah, no, actually we met all of you guys pretty, for those of you who are still around in Miami and from this area, you guys started, you gave Sunday Night Smash Up when that was around, right?
Red's room.
I actually remember it was in October of 2012. Because I met Rhett outside Alex Mauricio's room on the beach, Kill Your Idol, and she was like, oh, I've been doing this thing for a few months. Like, cause she started with, did she start with the venue?
She started maybe 4 or 5 months after the venue started.
Oh, okay.
Rhett had been working with us for the 2 years we were doing other shows, so we had known Rhett a really long time, and she lived close by, so she wanted to do a room here, and at the time, we needed to do anything and everything, and we wanted to totally do a room with Rhett, who had supported us for the last, you know, for the 2 years leading up to having our own space, and kind of worked out. That's where we met. It's really where I think that this place became a home for comics, was in having that kind of a room. Our first show here was our Laugh Attack. So we kind of really catered to artists, to comedians right off the bat. It was also the easiest to when all you need is two speakers and a mic.
Oh yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Comedy is real easy.
Two speakers. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, this is a big space. We definitely needed to. We couldn't hear your dick jokes from back there. So that was it. That was like all she wrote. Yeah. After that, it's been crazy.
I remember when this place was like before you had to have all these seats and stuff. There was
before
like
there
like,
were four there couches.
Was
like
a, there was a U of couches.
Yeah. It was. They would face each other here and another one there, and it was like maybe like I think we had 15 chairs.
Yeah.
Now we have like 67 seats, and we don't fit everybody all the time.
I love nothing better than standing in the back. You know,
it's a fun place to be all the way back there.
Yeah.
You feel like almost you can like, you know, talk all the shit you want to talk and nobody else is going to hear.
All the other comics.
I made you guys an artist nook now because I was getting, it's in
what's,
the corner.
What's the
there's
artist
like,
nook?
There's like right
where
back there where
was.
Everybody, yeah, where the pumpkin was. Where that's where I like, I'm like, I put stools here and all of this for you guys so you can sit in the back.
That way you
and
don't
talk.
Intimidate anyone that's coming up here for the first time and you're just like, they're hung like vultures looking at the stage. When are you going to be done? When's it my turn?
Oh, my favorite open mics.
Or you go outside and then you hear them through the sheet metal. Ha ha ha. You know, just laughing and talking shit.
We are a warehouse after all. We really did convert this as best we could.
Definitely from warehouse to theater space. And you're right next to the CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. The wonderful gym next door.
We were talking about that.
I hate those before. People. Yeah. I hate those people.
You hate them?
I hate those
it's
people.
It's like a contrast for me because it's like everyone, this is on this side, everyone's smoking and drinking and carrying on.
Yeah.
And on that side, everyone's getting fit.
I hate them because they play their music obnoxiously loud. Yeah. And we play our
get
music
hyped for getting skinny,
well,
though.
You gotta right. drown out the noise of your knees bursting. So that's how that works.
That's why I don't like them. Eventually, I want to buy them out. I just want to buy them out.
Yeah.
Have a bigger space. Have
ooh,
a wider
snap,
space.
Buy them out.
I'm just saying.
I have a little the Artistic Vibes Cafe.
Yeah.
I don't know, just brainstorming here.
Well, there'll be a green room. I know how you comedians love green rooms.
Oh, I feel so special when I'm in a green room, like when I'm in an actual green room.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was in the Miami Improv green room. Oh, my gosh. I was like, there's a couch just for me and
special.
All the 20 people here? Whoa.
Oh, look at that. We get to all sit on each other's laps.
Yeah.
Can I have the water in that fridge? No, you can't. Oh, it's still there.
I weaseled my way into a Leukemia Lymphoma Society fundraiser thing. because John Wynn was doing it with Irene Morales and Ellie Rodriguez. She was hosting it. And I was like, can I get on? Because, like, I kind of had lymphoma. So. And, like, of course, like, I don't think there were two.
That is a weaselly way
that
to get
it. That is a cancer
guilt. Super weaselly.
Can I,
but
you know,
I felt like it
I can
was
speak to the subject matter of cancer because I had it.
I did 5 minutes. I did a type 5 on cancer. And one woman was actually upset because someone that they had known died of cancer recently before the show. She like stood up and clapped for me, but then apparently she was upset about it. But, you know, people's emotions get weird when people
die.
Yeah.
That's a weird reaction. Yeah, I'm upset that you had cancer because I know someone who died of cancer.
Or upset that I was talking about it because like it hits too close to home, you know?
Well, especially because just spitballing here, it might be because he was at a cancer benefit.
You know, maybe. That could be why he might have spoke about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
People,
it's
like, but there, I guess,
getting
people's
too
reactions.
Real for you? Getting too real for you, Diane?
What are you fundraising for?
People ask me sometimes, they're like, did you really have cancer? Is that like a joke?
That's
like,
I was going to ask you, how do most audiences take your cancer jokes and stuff like that? Like,
if he was
of,
a
like,
better
backlash?
Comic, probably better.
Oh, you're right.
There we go. Doing cancer is really hard in a lot of ways because the reaction is usually pretty good, right? I think people might be a little bit more generous afterwards when I do the cancer stuff. I notice that, like, I always review my tapes, and I notice that I do get a little more stage time when I do cancer material. And
have you done like a chart of this? Like, yeah, I get exactly.
I have an Excel spreadsheet. I'll forward it to you.
When Mike starts the cancer stuff, you should just vaudeville and hook him just like to the side. Just
wait,
let him.
I'm gonna throw a curve into your statistics here. Yeah. I'm gonna cut your mic.
Yeah, 5 minutes. It's like Mike, type five. The cancer stuff bumming everybody out. But I've had interesting reactions from people. Like one guy said, Your cancer stuff was so good that it made me want to have cancer, which I thought was interesting.
That's a really interesting reaction.
Yeah, he was a musician too. He wasn't even a comic. He wasn't like, oh, let's get the cancer material.
Make sure you quote him on your comedy website. That's something.
Yeah.
For you to
oh
put
yeah.
Up there.
Makes him people want to have cancer. It's weird though. It's like people having cancer is a strange thing because people say cringeworthy shit to you a lot, you know, and a lot of them mean well, you know, like some people. Like, one guy asked me if I still had both of my balls, and I'm like, I don't think you understand how lymphoma works.
The thing is, one, no one is instructed in a way to speak. Okay, we need to have more awkward conversations. Just
yes.
Like in life,
I
you
have
need
plenty.
To have more awkward conversations.
People then have no social tact when it comes to those.
Yeah,
they don't
because
talk about
we
it
don't
enough.
Actively talk about it. Like, no one, it's very hard to talk about race with people. It's very hard to talk about sex, gender identity, you know, just stuff like that. And we need to have those awkward conversations to build a rhetoric and to, one, get you past the ball asking questions, you know? Yeah. Like, let's get past asking him about his balls about cancer and then the deeper things, like anything I could avoid or, like, you know, just like what's the best thing to tell you at this time? And, you know, stuff like that. We need to have those awkward conversations.
I think we were kind of like raised to not talk about those things. Like, oh, you never talk about religion and you never talk about politics. Like, you just.
I never discuss politics, religion with people. I always
really?
Avoid. Oh my god, dude!
Yeah.
I avoid that shit like the plague.
I don't,
because
well.
I don't like talking about it with people, even if I agree with them on most things. Because it's just like, ugh, like especially not. I definitely don't do it on Facebook.
Because
even
it's
though
a
one thing that does get me going, even though it's not politics, religion, is like the catcalling thing. Like you saw that catcalling video recently.
Oh my god!
Like I will
you
get,
see the John,
get into
the
it
one
with somebody.
That by Funny or Die that John Wynn posted.
No, yeah. I didn't see that.
The one
but
about
I saw
the white dude that's walking through New York. It's hilarious.
No,
it's like,
I haven't. But now that video was crazy, and I think that it's crazy even like people's reactions. Like there were some comics who were saying that video was kind of ridiculous and it was, you know, like calling BS on it.
And then the next post is complaining about them not having a girlfriend.
Actually, like I read somewhere that it was like, then she shouldn't live in New York.
That
Jesus.
Then where do I live? Like,
listen, I'm going to just say
my
that
family's
that coon,
here.
That coon shouldn't have been living in South Carolina. That's
like,
a problem.
Like, why you even live there? But that's exactly. I was just like, that's like the same thing as saying,
dude, it's disgusting.
What was she wearing? You know, like, oh, as, you know what I mean? Like,
it's even worse than that. It's like
it is.
It's like, why did the Jews live in Germany then?
Why? If you knew that
he should have lived in China. I'm sure they'd like them now.
Actually, very interesting. There was actually a large refugee of Jewish people in China during World War II.
Oh, shit.
Awesome. Yes, there was. They were able to get out.
There was actually
That's why I made that comment.
You're so intelligent.
So I just wanted to bring, you know, educate you people.
Okay, one thing I wanted to address about that video is I'm not in any way critiquing it because that's like that's my girlfriend can't read at a bar without like some dude coming up. What are you reading, huh? what are you reading? Just like,
that's
like
part
you
of
can't...
my joke that I say. It's like, oh, you automatically, it's like, hey, you want to read this chapter? You want to come over? It's like, why does everything have to be like a catcalling?
And yeah, like she can't go to a bar and just read a book. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the reality that women live with. Like, yeah. There's just some spaces or just some actions that just cannot warrant a regular male, like, you know, action. Like, you can't just sit here sometimes. You can't just sit on a bus sometimes. Yeah.
I think there's appropriate places to approach strange women that are strangers, you know? Like, if you're at a bar and, like, you go up to talk to a girl and then she says, like, if she's not interested, then you can just go away. But it's like, there's certain places where like that's appropriate, but like not when someone's walking down the street. Like you have no reason to talk to them.
This isn't like a Julia Roberts movie. Like yeah. You can't just like bump into me and like,
oh, if it was, and now we're going to be together for the
rest
of our lives.
I will say this though. If it was Pretty Woman, it would be appropriate because if you're soliciting prostitution,
yeah, at that point.
Then going up to strange women is okay.
But like what they were saying about this video and what I was reading on Facebook is, well, we're going to get into a whole race issue with this video in a second because I was reading that too, but is that, that some of the guys were telling her, like, oh, have a blessed day. And yes. I don't think that she was saying that all of them harassment. It was what happened to her in this short amount of time, how many times she was hit on. Whether it was a good hello, how are you, you look pretty today, or being followed to her apartment 5 miles away by a guy.
Yeah, like she was being followed for 10 minutes. Yeah, like some guy was just walking like...
Like not even following her, walking next
like,
to her.
I'm going to play cool. I'm going to walk next to you for like 5 blocks and I'm going to be cool. I'm going to wait for you to make the first move.
Yeah, she's playing hard to get.
Don't worry. I'm going to pretend like I'm uninterested, but I'm still walking beside you,
like,
girl.
I don't... Like, it's fucking crazy to me how like... It's like, okay, these actions make someone feel bad. So maybe people shouldn't do them. Like, why is that? Like, some people can't wrap their head around that. Like, that's the only appropriate reaction is like, yeah, okay, it makes them feel uncomfortable. Like I think Oney Perez said something really funny. He's like, please, please, every man, tell these women how they should feel.
Oh, yeah, he did. And I loved him for that. But I think that it's you're saying it, what's the appropriate reaction when the appropriate reaction is like, hey, let's not do this.
Yeah.
But it's what's the easier reaction. And the easier reaction is like, you shouldn't be bothered by this.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's always easier to point the finger than it is to be like, I wonder what if my actions are incorrect.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Look situation.
To that's
look
really
internally
hard for people.
And like criticize yourself. Like another thing I read on like the comments that like either... That
your
Mike
fedoras,
showed me,
you know?
Yeah, was that a lot of them were like, "Well, you're just being called beautiful," like as if like that does not diminish like the harassment there just because you're being called a positive thing,
right? And that is a misconception. You see, I'm glad that I'm sitting with two gentlemen here, but most guys assume that
the supreme gentleman,
tip
of the fedora,
hello,
tip of the fedora to you, lady.
Oh my god, the fedora, that guy on Tinder, that was weird. I heard your episode.
What?
You guys had a guy on Tinder who said he may or may not have a fedora. Depends
if she likes it. Yeah,
I pay attention. Oh, I do my research.
Awesome. That was on OkCupid.
There we go.
You're
going to
be quizzed at the end of this podcast.
Apparently.
So if you listen,
wrong...
so now we don't, you don't have to freestyle rap. Awesome.
Yeah. We almost got Jessica to do it.
Yeah, Jessica was ready, but we're not going to be that cool.
But yeah, like, I think that it's just guys have this really bad misconception that just because they're saying something that they think is pleasing, that I'm supposed to be pleased by it or happy that it's happening to me when I'm trying to buy groceries or when I'm pumping gas. You know what I mean? Like it's an ego thing.
Yeah.
I think it's like, oh, and then you say chivalry is dead. Like one has nothing to do another.
I think chivalry is mostly medieval battle etiquette is mostly what chivalry is.
Yeah. I also
I'm serious. Like chivalry is like if you're going back to like if you're leaving a war, you're not supposed to pillage the lands that you pass. Like that's what chivalry, the code of chivalry is.
The original code.
Like, it's 99%. I'm not even fucking with you.
Which is why it's dead.
It's like now pilot, I understand. Pilot manners, like during World War II, like don't shoot down an enemy fighter that's going down, or like don't shoot down a parachute like chair. Like I think
so. No overkill is really what chivalry was. No overkill.
And then like the stuff that's like stuff open like a door or like take off your hat in the presence of a lady. That's
just manners.
Yeah, that's manners.
Well, then manners are gone.
I mean, I hold open doors for everybody.
Yeah,
I don't do it especially for women or men.
I like your equality. I like that it's spread across the board.
You could criticize manners or like chivalry as another way to like just as another way to present maleness or masculinity as like a soft thing to control or like to present.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope I'm making sense.
I feel like
I follow you.
When Reggie starts getting in this mode, I feel like I'm in like a I'm at like a liberal arts school taking an English class.
It's your humanities class.
It's like, it's
stop
like,
using those
you
big
know,
words, goddamn
it. It perceives like women as the fair sex, so you must open doors for them. You must also stand up when they come into the, like all this stuff is used like by dudes like on the internet when, with the fedora bros or
it's
the
casual misogyny too.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Like it's you know, coded in casual misogyny.
I guess yes and no, but I was also taught that if it's
no, I was taught the same way too.
Even I. Who am not a guy, I do certain things that I was just always taught, like with Vanessa, that maybe are male tendencies, if we're going to go through it in that route.
Yeah.
Like, I always walk in front of Vanessa when we're going downstairs.
Because there's a guy and a girl.
And I always walk behind her when
Because there's
we're
a guy
going.
And a girl in every lesbian relationship,
well,
right?
Well, always. Of course, me. Would
so
be her.
Who does the fucking, bro? I don't get it, bro.
I don't get it. Oh, that's a whole other topic.
Yes.
But like I still
that's another episode.
Yes. That's one that maybe
I Black and Jew episode 52. Back here with Quills.
That's your secret. There's your mystery episode.
Episode 54 was about why Quills likes to wear suits sometimes.
Thank you for joining us on the Black and Jew podcast on our 10-part series. Lesbian relationships.
Lesbians. How do they work?
How do they work? What do they do? What is
what
scissoring?
What do?
Why scissoring is a myth.
But I think that, like, I think that you're right to a certain level that it is like a sort of...
like casual massage. Like, it's like...
Casual. I think that everybody... I think it's just common courtesy.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
maybe it's not so much that it needs to be chivalry on just a man's side. Yeah. I think it just should be, like you said,
like
I do it for
manners,
everybody.
Like manners
always, in general.
I always open the door for everybody.
Right. Yeah. That's
not
what
just
I'm saying.
Because, like, if you do things for women specifically like that, even if they're good, positive things, right?
It still
creates this indifference where there's like we're like, you have this role, this is my role, this is your role, and what do you know? It's probably going to be in the guy's favor, let's be honest, because it has been for the past like 3,000 years or so or more, you know, 160,000 years, you know. So it's like for example, I was at a, and some people might disagree with me on this, but I was at a bar, and like I don't give my seat up for women, right? Like, I might do it, like, if there's a practical reason, like, if a girl's like, in high heels and it looks like her feet hurt a lot
or she's
some
pregnant.
Shit, or she's pregnant or something like that.
But
or,
you shouldn't be at a bar. Or you could be at a bar. You can do whatever you want. You're a woman. I'm
Although
sorry.
I'm kind of siding with you. You shouldn't
probably
be
not
at a
the
bar.
Best place to be. But it's like, you know, I don't do that specifically for women. And I remember I was in this situation, and there was another guy who maybe a bit of a misogynist, and he gives the seat up to her, right? And, like... I don't know, like, we didn't really discuss it, but I bet he was thinking, like, oh, like, that's impolite that you didn't do it, you know?
Right.
But it's like, but at the same time, you're the more misogynistic one in this situation. Because so who is being,
acting
better?
You should also, like, you should sometimes, like, you'll also have guys that are chivalrous that expect something in return because
that's
of
the worst,
like, they'll, like, build it up in their head, like, I'm chivalrous, I'm, like, a great guy, why aren't I getting the things in return for doing these things that you should just be doing
you
as a regular.
You should just be doing them not to expect anything. Although you were a douche for not giving that lady your chair. That's what I'm saying.
Call me a douche. I'll stand,
no,
I stand
no,
by
I,
it.
I get you.
I stand by it.
I think you're right. I think everybody has a role to be a human.
Yeah.
And to be courteous of other people, it's just society is so used to sticking you into these like boxes and to these genres. Like a man is supposed to do this, and a woman is supposed to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're supposed to treat each other in this way. Like a woman isn't supposed to eat unless her man has been served. Like we could flip it on the other end where you guys are supposed to like open doors and do things like that.
But again,
like,
I think that even those things that quote unquote benefit women are negative towards them because it puts them in this box.
And I agree, you know? But my mom's still to this day, especially since she's Hispanic, it's on top of just regular like female male things in the Hispanic community. It's like what we call machismo and what women are.
That's a big thing. That's one of the reasons
why Reggie, dude, he's so full of machismo. It's ridiculous.
it's oozing out of his hair.
It's oozing out of his little glasses.
Makes it grow. That's what keeps it so shiny. No, like that's a huge thing. Like, like a lot of Latin communities, a lot of Latin cultures, like it's, you know, men stay with the mom for like a big part of their life, or like, you know, they stay at home, or like they're the main breadwinners. And like, you know, it's expected of like a Latin woman in some cultures, you got to know this, 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 and that, and then some.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, you know, you see it all the time where there's like, if there's a daughter and maybe two sons, like I've seen this personally where like the mom will bitch at the daughter because she's not helping cleaning, and then the sons are on their Game Boys.
Yeah. And that, you know? And that is 100% truth. And it's really weird within that kind of a community, and that kind of a culture, really, actually not community, culture, the boys aren't expected to know how to wash their clothes. The women are supposed to do that, and the sisters will do that for the brothers as they're growing
up.
You know,
on this podcasting.
That's my beautiful wife who's bringing us all coffee.
I honestly was upset that there's two women here and I did not walk into a delicious meal for me.
I know. What it is our microwave broke and I...
Maybe the oven's behind
microwave.
The curtains.
I expect a hot plate. All right? A hot plate, fresh, some nice stir fry. Where's the arroz con pollo then?
I know, right? Well, cafe con leche. And
you guys had my arroz con pollo.
I did. And I've had your peanut butter
and I've had
your
crackers.
And his crackers and his cookies. I'm going to miss your food.
Do you guys like my arroz con pollo?
I did like your arroz con pollo. And I still feel bad I have no peanut butter before you're gone.
If he had a tail,
who
it'd be wagging.
Who says you're not going to have any peanut butter before you're gone?
Oh, I'm already excited. I'm going to take it camping with me.
If people respected my comedy as much as they respect my cooking, I would be...
You'd already have a special right now.
I'd be headlining, yeah. Is this for me? Can I have?
Yeah, you can have that, please. But yeah, so and like I said, my mom is I'm older now, and I'm looking at my mom, and she's still feeding my dad first, even if she was starving, and she's still doing all of these things. And there's this weird level of a generation gap, also where now. Our generation, my generation, is really thinking of like, okay, I have to be against that grain like 100%. But then even that is too far. Like, I know women who don't know how to cook something in the microwave. Like, I know women who probably couldn't make it in the oven. That's what it is.
Because they never
just
microwave
use the oven.
Anything. Yeah, exactly.
They don't know how to make a sandwich. Like, who doesn't know how to make a sandwich? Like, you know what I mean? And so I think, I don't know, it's crazy. The whole role situation.
I think in some aspects... You know, you go against the grain, but then you start to think like, oh, this kind of works in a lot of ways. You know, like I don't fault anybody for wanting the traditional family. You know, like I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But like, I could see how that traditional setup can work, but at the same time, it shouldn't be expected. You know, like a woman should not be expected to give up her dreams and take care of the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's, there's a foundation called Holla Back, right? That's trying to raise money.
Okay.
For the street harassment awareness.
Right? One question I have, this is going to relate to back. I'm going to bring it back. Don't worry. One thing I want to ask was how do they intend to attack street harassment? And here's why I find that complicated. And going back to like the family values and the tradition, when we teach boys and girls, like the values we teach girls is the highest expectation is, you know, marriage, or like the highest regard is marriage, or like the satisfaction of from another person. Like you will find like your happiness through the lens of another person.
Yeah. Right.
And then you need to satisfy, you know, the exterior versus the interior. Mm-hmm. And then boys, we kind of leave uninhibited and like, you know, like we raise them with the sense of like they're not at fault, and like they continue to keep on making little mistakes, little boy, and just bounce
back.
You'll
figure it out.
Yeah, use your fist. You know, like, don't cry in front of me. You know, stuff like that. Like, very basic stuff like that. That just, like, that's why we got catcalling, you know? Because we've never, or, like, as a collective, like, as a society, we're raising these boys to, like, not see themselves at error when we should be given the blend of both teachings to, like, you know, this is from my $1 soapbox on, like, but like, you know, you should be teaching boys to look more in interest, look intrinsic, like look inside themselves and see their error and like see their relation to everybody else. You know, it's not a king of the hill sort of situation.
Like, I think men are taught a lot that aggression is the way to solve problems, you know? When
solve
a lot of
everything.
Times not the case, you know, to assert yourself.
And then it's only pushed further by like men around you and like the men in your life and what you deem as manly.
Yeah.
And like things like with like traditional values, which I do agree is like being like, you know, there's a lot of like people going against the flow, like in Latin cultures, like you, me, for example, So I could also see how like a traditional family works and like how that is very good, but to just like you said, to just assume like you're gonna give up a lot of this because we, you know,
now we're together. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that it's all about a matter of balance. But I am interested in how do they, if I don't know anything about this Hollerback Foundation, what is there? How do you stop? How do you attack this? Yeah,
I think they just do like awareness, but I think that there's a way to, because you get the vocal morons commenting, but the people that it actually helps are not commenting because they have better judgment than me, at least, in fighting with people about it on the internet. But, like, look, like, I will say that from my theory is, right, is that there's certain people that are just misogynists and there's nothing you can do about it, right?
Right.
And there's certain people that are unaware of the fact that what they're doing is how harmful that is. Like, some people might think that catcalling is harmless fun. I know I have a bunch of friends that think, oh, it's harmless fun. Like, they don't understand that it makes a woman feel very unsafe, you know? Even if you're just like, oh, hey, how are you doing today? You know what right. I mean? So it's like, so I think that, like, for me, for example, like, I never was into catcalling, but I always thought, like, oh, whatever, you know, if some of my friends do it, like some of my friends that yell things out of cars at girls, like, for fun, I'd be like, oh, it's just whatever, just a silly prank someone's playing. But now I'm like, no, this is really bad.
Yeah.
So if my friend does that, I could be like, dude, you really shouldn't do that because you're making someone feel really bad. Some of them might listen, some of them, you know.
And you're right. But see, I grew up with catcalling.
Yeah.
I was being catcalled, and this is another aspect that kind of comes back into my, like, Hispanic background, is that I grew up in Hialeah, and these weren't guys my age. I would be 12, 13, getting whistled by older men while I'm, like, grocery shopping. And I think that also is why women now are even more uncomfortable. We've also been dealing with this for a really long time, and some of us younger than others, depending on when we developed and when we didn't, to where it became a scary thing. That even when I was 15, if a guy who was older than me said I was beautiful, it was still scary because I'm 15.
Yeah.
So now it leaves that lingering fear of maybe I don't really like that because it's been happening that long. But I don't think that most men are willing to wrap their heads around why that bothers them.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's so easy to bring it back to what we said at the beginning, to say they shouldn't be bothered. I gave them attention. Women like attention. You know what I mean?
I called her beautiful.
I called her beautiful. I said good day. Why is she being such a jerk?
Like,
you know what I mean?
Presidente right now.
Yeah, like, what is she doing here? She should move to, like, somewhere that men are not.
Stop trying to nourish yourself.
I think that, like,
dare you.
That, like these sort of these problematic cultural norms, they seem insurmountable at first. It's like, who would have thought, right? If you go back to, let's say, like, the South in, like, the 1920s, who would have ever thought that at some point it would not be acceptable to use the N-word in casual conversation? No one would imagine that.
No, not at that time.
There's no way that I can't
I'm like, get out of here, fool. What are you talking about?
No, there's no way you're just going to be at her dinner party and not be able to throw around the N-word, or at the supermarket and just be able to call someone that. Like, it seems like it, but then slowly, and I think personally also, if you get guys on board that other guys look up to, like, if you get someone that's, like, the pinnacle of male, like, let's get some, like...
there's a real, like, tribalism or herd mentality, herd mentality with a lot of dudes where it's like, oh, look at the bigger monkey is saying...
monkey said it, so we should all go
like,
and do it.
Like, think of someone, like, who's someone that's, like, seen as really masculine? Like, let's say Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
10 years ago. 10 years ago.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, wait, Bruce Willis. Chuck Norris.
Liam Neeson.
Like, let's say Liam Neeson, like, is really on board with this shit.
He picks up a phone, don't catcall.
And then it's like, and it's like, okay, so there's really, this representation of masculinity is saying, like, hey, this is not okay to do. Then... some guys will be like, fuck you. But some people, like, there's still super racist people in the South,
of course.
But you'll chip
it'll
away
start
at those.
To be more of
there's,
a
like, there's a low hanging, like, I am low hanging fruit for, like, certain gender. Like, if you talk to me about some feminist ideal or something like that, like, you can just tell me and I'll be like, oh, okay, I won't do it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right, yeah, if that's not something I should do, I shouldn't do it. I'm very open to these sort of things. But then there's someone, let's say, that is, like, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 0, right?
Right.
Like, anything you say, I'll listen to it regardless of my entrenched beliefs. Then let's say there's someone that's a 2 or a 1, right? It's my friend that, like, is you know, he won't immediately think about it. Like, if some girl's like, you shouldn't catcall, I'd be like, ah, I'm just being stupid. But then if I go up to them, like, you know, you really shouldn't catcall because this, and this, it makes, and then they'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I understand that. I'm going to not do that anymore. Or at least to give someone, even if someone's like, oh, these girls should be happy with it. I guarantee you that there's probably going to be a little bit of the voice in their head. Like, if they're catcalling a girl, be like, oh, I'm not doing something. They're going to think it's less okay than they used to think. And that's a start.
Yeah, you know, and you're right.
I mean?
You're right.
Like, you
that.
Realize that you're doing something willfully wrong. Like, everyone does
because
things.
Because now you're you have the no. So now when you have the no, it's different. You automatically go into it a little bit more hesitant.
You start checking yourself
a bit
you're
more. Like, was that too far?
There's one of the things that's difficult is, like, like women since birth have had their like world created for them.
Yeah.
Like it's never been like it's like shoot an arrow, it'll go straight. That's like that's a male. Like that's he'll just go straight and hit the target.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the female arrow will have to curve around all these obstacles. Like yeah. since birth, their world has like been shaped for them, and it's never been like an active like, you know, them molding it. Like you have a lot more
parameters.
Yeah, there's a lot more parameters, and to convey that to someone who's just gone through their whole life, you know, just without having been like, you know, like the only thing they've ever received was don't kill people, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
just don't ever do that.
Just don't kill people, don't steal, and don't just wave a gun out in the open space. Yeah. Like if that's the only thing, if that's your worldview, to have it come down. To have it come down and just like be brought to a level where you can like actively like, this is, do you understand that all the privileges you have are because of this, this, and this? It's really hard to unlearn.
It's an mind-shattering thing. And I think some people don't want to admit that they're part of the problem. They don't want to admit to themselves that their past actions might have been bad. Like I went through...
Or their future actions. I think some guys might not want to even change how they react the next time. Like, like at least the threads that I read were very upsetting, especially from some of the guys I know. Oh, I was just like, I can't believe that
some
you guys
just... Some of
these
threads were horrible.
Just the fear, like in just regards to that video of saying she should then move out of New York was mind-boggling so to me.
Some people are complete idiots like also. Just and usually complete idiots are the ones that like to comment.
On Facebook is usually what happens. We need to start having like a dumb island and we can just... like apply these people for their for Facebook posts.
The friendship into the dumb island.
Yes,
and then
exactly. You're that you are cut off.
Yeah,
you're
it's
cut
and
off.
It's great that you're. They're just displaying these horrible attitudes in public. You know,
it's always
like
fantastic.
I'm sure that you're never going to be in a position where a woman's got to hire you for something.
Do you consider Facebook public?
Like, yeah, it's super public.
Like, okay, no, I just think it's very interesting. Like,
everyone Googles. Like, if you're working with someone, like if you're everyone always Googles. You know, you're going to Google somebody. You're going to be curious. Hell, I sold a guy something on Craigslist. I Googled him to make sure he was a DJ because he was buying some DJ equipment, you know, just to make sure it wasn't just some shady thing. So like, so if you're doing something, someone's going to Google you, and the chances of them reading something that you wrote is pretty high because there's a lot of people on Facebook like that just based on their Facebook interactions, I'm like, you're a crazy person, or you're like, you have a very problematic personality. And not that I'm nobody, but it's like, let's say I was somebody and I was in a position where like you were going to work with me or something, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
And I don't think that most people realize how public Facebook really is, because you asked that question, and I think the public, no matter what your privacy settings are, let's get over all of that.
Yeah.
Everything is on the internet, and it's on there forever. I think there's also like this really weird gray area where everybody thinks that their opinions are important enough to post all the goddamn time, and that becomes a problem, because even, let's say you are aware that you're profile is public, you think that you're entitled to have such an opinion,
you know,
and state it everywhere, and then you must not be judged for said opinion. Like, some people really think that they're like, I could say that all women are jerks, but you can't judge me for that because it was on Facebook. Like, no, that's why you put it there for a reason.
I was just like, I was just gonna say, it's like you know, like in class, like there were only a select few kids that raised their hand. There was like 5 kids that raised their hand, and like the teacher was with the class long enough to know, like, okay, Cindy will give me the right answer. Susan will give me the right answer, but she'll keep on talking. And then Mark, he doesn't say shit. And then, like, Kenny likes to say racial slurs. I'm not going to, like...
I'm not going to go to his hand. I'm not going to do that.
You know, like that town forum type of thing. Like, not everyone has a voice, but not everyone was selected to say it, right?
Right.
Like, so... now we have a culture where like we could just say anything we want all the time and it will reach people indefinitely.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then we are under the impression that like for say on Twitter, our followers are our friends, and then our haters just, you know, are the people that dislike us, hate us.
They're just haters.
Yeah, they're just haters. Like we
anybody with an opinion against mine is a hater.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's the mentality that we're at right now.
And then like,
but the people that are civil enough and smart usually don't comment a whole lot, you know?
I stopped. I used to be really bad at commenting. It was like a thing for me. Yeah. And especially like when I got really crazy, I got really crazy involved for a little while with the Occupy Miami movement.
Yeah.
And I was like really, really into that. And then I started to realize that I couldn't hate everybody and everything every day that I woke up.
Yeah.
Like knowledge is bliss, and it is 100% bliss to a certain level, because the more ignorant people you meet, like I started to lose it passionately with people who I was never really going to see face to face and who, regardless of my opinion, I'm not going to change your mind. You know, like, and there's so little people, and like, again, back to us being able to talk about more taboo subjects, you know what I mean? Because people get offensive, and most people who are trying to give you their opinion, it can't be like this in a common, and like, oh, that's your opinion, high five, congratulations, this is mine, and that's it.
Yeah.
People always feel like they have to stuff it down your throats, whether it's a chick who's walking down the street, and now she needs to just suck it, and you know what I mean? Like, it's always like that need to be right. And for your opinion to matter.
That's the problem with online conversations. It's like, it's not a conversation, it's a competition. Like people never go online to have a discussion. They go online to get their opinions validated further, whether it be through people agreeing with them or for them to paint everyone else like an idiot.
It's selective exposure. Like people will more actively, like if you have MSNBC, CNN, and Fox, people will go to the station that more agrees
with their own points.
No one wants to be challenged. And the thing, guess where
that's
was
a stance by the Black and Jew podcast. And if you disagree, you're wrong.
Exactly. Unfriend me.
There's also something to be said to how we talk online. Like, if you want to hurt someone online, you have to press caps lock and then say something.
That's yelling. Everybody knows. Yes. Yeah. It's like, I'm yelling at you at this point.
But even then, like, online yelling is not like, I'm yelling at you, Quills. That's totally different.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to take my computer, like, if we had an argument over online, take my computer, come here to Artistic Vibes and say, no, Quills, just yell at you and point at the screen, then you'd get my point.
Right.
But if I just caps lock, said no, Quills, you could easily rub that off. Like, no, Quills. So I think a lot of people will say no, Quills, and then say fuck you.
Yeah.
Because they want...
It has to be more powerful.
Yeah,
it needs to.
I need my emotion and passion to get to you more than everyone else's emotion and passion.
This is why I like vague passive-aggressive statuses.
That's why I love
the
subtweeting.
You're the queen of those.
I am the queen of those. I need to say this, but I don't need to say this so that everybody knows what I'm saying. Just need to get this out there. No, but I agree with you on that. I think that us trying to... We're so stuck in this social world, and yet none of us have any social tact anymore. We have no idea how to have a common conversation with people. We have no idea how to talk and interact without looking at our phones or thinking or even talking about what we post. Like, you know what I mean? Even in our own, even the topics of our discussions have turned into, did you see that meme that they posted? Did you see that video that they put on YouTube? Did you see, like, that is what it has become. And
this would make a great meme.
It would be. It would be a fantastic one. A meme within a meme within a meme. And I think that
memeception.
Conversations on Facebook suck, or anywhere. Text messages. Context is. You can't tell somebody's infliction on words.
Yeah.
So everybody's just defensive.
Yeah. Like, and they've done studies that like kids that grow up with a lot of screens in their face actually don't know how to gauge human emotion very well.
They're like, I don't know if you're smiling.
And people don't understand like how much. You know, some things you say could hurt people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really easy to just be a dick online because you don't have that feedback. Like, I know if I'm on Reddit or something, like, I always try to be really nice and not be condescending if I'm criticizing or saying something, you know? But it's like you have an emotional reaction to something and, like, you got to pair it back, and it's a lot harder when you don't have the consequence in facial expressions in front of you, you know?
Well, I was just going to say, like, very interesting that you brought that up, because up until, like, honestly, very recently, we've only ever had this.
Yeah.
We've only
maybe phone conversations.
Yeah, like,
still,
maybe a phone, but you still caught, like, the feedback from their voice, like, oh, or like, ah, you know, you got the inflection, you got the cadence. And, like, up until recently, we're just finally getting around to understanding like what the internet and the computer is and like all that stuff. Like I've said this before on the podcast, but like evolutionarily, like we as human beings are not very fit to like live in our current world. Like it gives us a lot of anxieties and makes us anxious.
We're all
like,
more depressed.
It's gonna take at least 300,000 years for it to catch up.
Yeah, before once we become energy beings and like
300,000 years of iPhone screens.
There we
go. Before like, because evolution happens, physical evolution happens so slowly, it's like crazy.
Yeah. Oh man.
My fish grandkids can like you know.
And you know, one of the reasons I don't post political things online and stuff is because, like, what if I am going to apply for a job or something and the person hiring me is a hardcore Republican and what I said was reasonable, let's say, and made sense, but they're unconsciously or consciously is like, well, I don't like Democrats, so I'm not going to hire you. You know, like you're working against yourself for no reason. You know, like you're not making that much of a difference with it, let's be honest. And so it's just pretty much all negative, you know?
Yeah, I think I've only had ever one really adult political conversation online with somebody who was of the opposing party. And we literally both left learning something about the other person's like candidate of choice.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, was like, I didn't know that about that person.
Was it like on a Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning?
I know, right?
No one's on Facebook. And it's just
you gotta swallow really so weird. Much when you're arguing with someone online about something, you know, like you have that you want to be like get in their face, you know.
I probably type at least like 3 times and then go back and like make sure that what I'm saying isn't retarded. And then I also don't want to misspell things because I lose power in my voice when I've misspelled the word
the, because or people could easily attack that online and
they'll do that instead of attacking your topic, like that's also another thing that we do. We're like, oh well, you know, I don't pay attention to anybody who doesn't know how to properly use the word there. And I'm like, I'm so pissed my thumbs can't move fast enough and my phone autocorrects crap, okay. Like politics, that was the only time that I think I've ever had. I think that you're right in the sense that we need to be able to have more conversations so that we know how to have them properly.
Yeah.
I think that because of the fact that we are always making sure that we're not crossing certain topic lines, that we then don't know how to talk about those topics to anybody. We get defensive or we feel like our opinion or what we were taught is what we need to stand by, especially with religion. We all have that in our mind. Like, you know, I was lucky enough to have very religious open parents. The minute I could give them a reason why I didn't want to go to church that was a valid reason other than I want to watch Sunday cartoons, they let me not go to church, and that was it. I have a Hare Krishna in my family, which is a really weird religion, not against them, but it was odd for me coming from a Catholic background. I agree with that. I think we need to just have more, we should just have a whole podcast about really taboo topics.
I had no too many reasonable religious people to be like I'm an atheist, but I know too many super like just normal balanced religious people to like, you know, be super anti-religion, you know, like I can't, cause I know too many like, and too many people where it's been good for them and it's been such a positive influence in their life, you know? So
I respect religion for that.
Yeah.
Some people need it, you know, but then I find other things humorous, and this is going to be a funny thing about religion I'm going to talk about. Like I know somebody who just went church LARPing. That's a thing.
What?
Church LARPing.
Church
live action role playing.
Yeah, church live action role playing, like with swords and learning how to be like God's soldiers and reenacting parts of the Bible, and they all like got to leave with like a sword of champions.
That's hilarious.
Wow. People like funnel their faith very different ways. Some people
apparently
make Christian rap or rock. Did you know that Imagine Dragons is a Christian band?
I learned that way after I was already into them. Like
They're a Christian band.
That is kind of crazy.
They're probably the best Christian band in the history of Christian bands.
Yes, they are.
I did not know that.
Really?
Oh. Imagine Dragons is a Christian. Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like in terms of religion, there's actually I don't really have like a solid stance on religion because one, my parents have also been very open with it, and to want to strangle or denounce someone because of their faith in like what could possibly be maybe essentially an imaginary being is, I don't want to take that away from somebody. I don't want to, some people only have religion.
I don't care enough.
Yeah, I don't care enough.
I don't care enough.
Like, why does this personally affect you like this much? Why can't I be Jewish and why can't you be Christian?
I had a good quote from the guy who does, I forget his name, but he does the hardcore history, Dan Carlin's hardcore history. He's like, you know, I hate to use the word religious tyrants because they're just tyrants, and one of the tools of tyranny is religion. You know, just look at Fidel Castro, or look at you know, the Great Leap Forward, or look at, you know, Stalin, to realize that there's a million tools of tyranny, and people are going to be tyrants. People are going to follow bad people, regardless of religion. You know, it's like that's just one tool, and it could be used for good or for bad. You know what I mean? Before we get too far away from the Facebook thing, I wanted to, the first time I got subtweeted, right? And I didn't really even know what it was, but it's like when you mention someone but don't actually use their Twitter handle and you want to say something bad.
Oh. All
right, some random
I'm learning this is new.
Some person that I was following, like it's like if you said Mike Marinoff's an asshole, but put Mike Marinoff, but not at Mike Marinoff.
Okay.
So I was following this girl, right? And she, like, just random person on Twitter, and she was following me back. And she put on, she tweeted, she's like, my favorite part about Twitter is that people don't realize how lame I am as quickly as in real life, right? And so I tweeted back at her, like, as a total joke, I just go, don't worry, we all know. And she got really upset. Like, she like, got, it's because I'm used to, like, talking shit with comics. So
yeah,
it's like,
you can be, like, that quick.
Yeah, like John Gregory is so mean to me on the internet, and I love every minute. Like, I posted this one thing that was, like, it was, like, in quotation marks, like, premium, regular, plus oats, an Amish gas station. And he goes, I envy the Amish because they don't have to read this tweet. It was hilarious. But like that's, so I said this to this girl and she subtweeted me and she's like, hey, you know, you might think you're being funny on the internet, but if you don't know someone well enough, you're actually being an asshole. And she private messages me and was like, hey, comedian, have you ever been subtweeted before? And I'm like, no.
What is this sorcery?
And I'm like,
have you ever been subtweeted before? I had to look it up. There's going to be a horse head on your bed tomorrow.
I had to look it up on Urban Dictionary and I was like, oh, are you talking about, I'm assuming you're talking about that joke I made to you. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm really, really sorry if you took that the wrong way. I didn't mean to be mean. You're right. I should not have said that to you because like, I don't know you that well. And I apologize. And thanks for letting me know. I'll be better, more conscientious on Twitter next time. And like, at first she was like, yeah, well, you shouldn't do that. And then like the third message, she's like, oh, I feel bad. You're really nice.
Because, you know, we're not used to people coming back. You're going to get more trolled. You're going to get trolled even more. In actuality, like the majority is going to go, oh, yeah, you don't like that?
Well,
no, I'm going to say this.
You should be able to take a joke, bitch.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, you're going to subtweet me? I'm going to subtweet
don't
you.
Don't be on Twitter. What are you doing?
Yeah, move on to Google Plus. What are you even here?
What are you doing here?
You shouldn't have worn that in your avatar. No, but I really felt like I was in the wrong. So I was like, or even though maybe... Like she should have taken the.
I personally perceived her tweet as a joke. Like I thought.
Yeah,
oh,
it was. It is a joke, and I was joking back. But like, she probably could have taken it better. But I forget that like she's not a comedian. She's not used to being made fun of mercilessly all the time. Like she's not. I forget. Like oh, you're a quote unquote funny person on Twitter in big quotation marks, but you're not a comedian. So like you're not used to that kind of like Dennis Howe said about me on stage once. He's like, oh, you make me sympathize with certain people, AKA Hitler. Like he said, he's like, you're a failed attempt at making a hipster. And like, you say it to a normal person, they'll be like, whoa, dude,
like,
you're a dick. Cause like, I am kind of a failed attempt at making a hipster. Like that's like, there's truth to that. It's not a baseless insult, but some people aren't used to that. And I forgot. So, but instead of like, I just diffused the situation.
I think like
hanging out with you guys, you need a tough show.
Yeah.
Like you do.
At first, it used to hurt. Like, when I would get insulted by comedians, because they say things that they'll insult stuff that, like, you may be insecure about, you know?
No,
like,
I feel like you guys have, like 3D glasses schoolers. And you know what insecurities are. Like, you're looking at everybody and you're like, I know that you've been bugged about this since you were 7 years old. That is the one. Because it used to bother me, too. Now I've just gotten better at throwing the quips right back. But you almost have to fake it. You almost have to be like, oh, yeah, well, I know your insecurity. And I, like, a dish back. Her, she might have just been really insecure about being weird. And then you kind of called her out on it. So
like,
because comedians, and it's funny too, because comedians, they insult, but they also are very sensitive.
They're the most insecure people I've ever met.
You need a certain degree of sensitivity to be a comedian, to observe things and absorb things and see how people feel. So, and that sensitivity means you're really good at insulting people because you could be like, oh, I know exactly what's going to cut
me. Because it would cut me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The reason why you cross your fingers at 7 o'clock is because your mother touched you. And it's like, bam, that's what, there you go. I found it. And I'm going to make fun of you that, you know, just. Like I think, like being a comedian, you can kind of read comedic context, like very like you're always turned on, you're always turned on, and when someone insults you, you use 0.5 seconds to find out is it a comic insult, real insult, you know, like, and then you can figure that out quickly, and then oh, let me throw this back, and like we understand that like there's like a. There's context. There's a current
atmosphere. Unless you meet some of these new ones. Like I love Kevin Perry on Facebook. Like there should be a winner for the best Facebook status on like my like New Times. If you're listening, please do this next. I know you won best Twitter. I think that Kevin Perry
Miami
would win.
Most insightful, most incendiary Facebook.
Yes, because every time he posts anything, it turns into a 900 comment thread of
Get out your popcorn gifs.
Yeah, it's honestly, I sometimes will just like comment like an ellipsis just so that I can get the notifications of the madness that's going on. Oh. Like, I won't even
I think
have
you can get notifications without commenting. That's what I do.
Oh, I don't. Unless it pops up in my feed.
It's pretty fun, and I think I'm glad that everyone admits like, yeah, it's fun to watch.
Oh no, I love to watch it. I love to watch people really go crazy, and some people are oversensitive. There's some comments that I could read John Vargas's comments, and I can even hear him in my head in his voice saying them, and I'm laughing the whole time. And then there's other comics who are so sensitive that I can see them losing their mind at home as they're like popping like Zolofts and getting all depressed over the madness that's going on. You know, so I think it's pretty crazy. Kevin Perry, I love your face. I love your statuses.
You make Facebook worth it.
Yes.
Like I see 100 comments, I'm like, oh man, I know what I'm doing for the next 30 minutes.
This is good.
Gotta load them all up. Oh yeah, give me that little circle with the arrow at the end. Come on, keep it coming.
Keep going. It's much better, I'm sure, than a Cali's Facebook.
You always miss it. I don't know how.
Mike is the one that always like. Do you know what's going on Facebook right now?
I've seen crazy threats between comics on Facebook.
Man, no one's going to do nothing.
I know you guys aren't. Right? I mean, let's
be
real. I
would love to see a comic on comic fight, like an actual fist
fight. I definitely
would
not threaten. Like, out of all the comics, Kevin Perry is the last person I would threaten.
No, nobody ever. He actually always tries to stop paying attention. Like, because sometimes he'll post, like, it'll be a post about, like, I like cats more than I like open mics. And everybody will go on there and start going crazy on him.
I like cats more than I like open mics.
Who doesn't, though, right?
I love cats.
Cats are much more cuddly than comedians.
They are.
All right. Before we go, I wanted to do something.
Okay.
If you could tell, we've had conversations about this. If you could say, just put it out there, the frustrating things that people do to you as the owner of Artistic Vibes that you really wish they would stop doing, now's your chance.
Pay attention, folks. Stop asking me to be on a certain part of the set list. Look at it this way. I have 15 different set lists, and you're all the first one on a different set list. So you're all like number one across the board.
There's 15 different set lists?
Yeah, you're number one. And then Mike's number one on set list number two.
Oh,
so you're all at the top of the list. I know it sounded weird, right? Maybe I didn't. I'm not.
Oh, I get what you mean now.
Okay, it's all right.
Everyone's a headliner on one of them.
Yeah, you're a headliner on one of them. No. If you want to support this scene, if you want the scene in Miami to keep growing, how about you buy some fucking water if it's a dollar? Or don't get really upset when you don't make it on the list of the 20 people that are here and you're 2 hours late and you didn't sign up when you were supposed to. Like, there's like common rules. Like, hey, show up by 8. Get on the list. You have 10 minutes. Yay, congratulations. Don't be getting here at 11:30 and wondering why you're not getting on and how was I supposed to know that you were going to be late or that you wanted to be here. Let's see. What else? Yeah, just support your scene.
Follow the simple rules laid out.
Yeah, follow the rules. Support the scene. If there's somebody who's doing a show and it's for your own art, I go to a bunch of theater. I go to a lot of other poetry rooms when I have the time. Go and check out a show. It's $5. If you don't have $5 to invest in your own art, you shouldn't be doing it. That's the way that I see it. And in other people doing it, don't be upset when people don't support you, when you don't support other people. Yeah. And buy the fucking water. It's a dollar, guys. Yeah. It's a dollar. And that might
don't
help
go
me.
To a gas station. Don't be an.
It's
don't go
insane.
To like. Don't go to the Publix or the Millums. That's by here. I forget, but. Yeah.
No, they'll point out that we have a water jug here. Yes, I do, for my kids' programs. Because unfortunately, none of my six-year-olds have money to buy their water. And they kind of actually pay for you guys to have an open mic. Like, people don't realize that. What we do with the kids, while I love it and it's great and we're growing artists and all of that stuff, they are what fund Vibes. They are what fund our other shows. Because I can promise you this. As great as your dick jokes are, it's not paying the rent, baby. Like, it's just not doing that.
Nobody's coming here to see me work out my stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, and if they
are... That's why I feel indebted to you, because it's like I'm getting the gain out of it, you know,
and I think that our gain is in growing you guys and in growing and in being a part of something that's growing the scene. But what becomes really hard is when the artists themselves and people within our own family, like how we said that we have this big family, sometimes it's our own family members that are holding us back from doing what it is that we were set out to do. I often feel like the fools to think that Miami would be any different than what we've been trying to do. Like me and Vanessa often ask ourselves, like, why don't we just do this in New York where they already appreciate this? Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was like, no, that was why we were here, but it's becoming this really
hard,
frustrating thing. So just support the scene, guys, and follow simple rules. You're a professional. You're an artist. Learn how to have an email. Learn how to call back. Learn how to text. I don't know, learn business basics
101. Show up on time to things.
Yeah, show up on time. You know, if you want to be an artist, if you want stage time, show the owners and the venues and the bookers and the audience members that you respect their time, and that's why you're worthy of that time that you're getting. Because too many times I think that artists take it for granted that they have this time and they think that they can just do whatever they want, or they don't. I've heard artists say, I don't care about the audience. Then what the hell are you doing?
So let's end.
I don't care about the audience.
Let's end on a positive note. What's your favorite part about the Miami scene?
My favorite part about the Miami scene is actually, I have more favorites than hates. It's just I've been doing this for too long, so now it's starting to cross over. But I actually like the family we've created, and knowing that even for those bad seeds out there, I've met a lot of really amazing people. It's sad that most of those amazing people are always moving. I think that. I think also we're starting to make a change in audiences. I think I've noticed over some time that people are looking for that edgy thing now. They're looking for that. They're looking for something that's local. They're respecting. I've gotten so many comments of people who have come here that automatically like, oh, I didn't know that we had so many good comics here. You know, they've come to a Laugh Attack and like, oh, that guy's really funny. You know, yeah, and he's always here. Like, you can catch him here and you can catch him there. So I think that slowly through trials and tribulations and tears and fears and yelling and screaming, we're getting there. And I think that my favorite part is really just having been able to develop artists. And even if tomorrow we close, knowing that there are a group of you guys out there that will carry us in your hearts wherever it is that you go.
Yeah, so. I've developed more than anywhere at Artistic Vibes.
Well, and I will miss you wholeheartedly. You've made my day today. I will tell you that.
I'll miss you, man. Jesus. I'll miss this place. It's like leaving home. You know?
I'm telling you, you're going to perform here via Skype one day. Like, just
don't.
Or maybe I'll come down for the holidays and
perform. There you go.
I could do that too.
I'm still really dying to get like an outsider, like, because we have a projector screen.
Yeah.
I can put you on the projector screen and on the speakers, and you can be doing comedy from your house on a Thursday night, live from LA. It's Mike Marianoff.
Hey guys, I'm still in my. I got my curling iron, curling rollers in my hair. I'm in the rope.
I'm baking bread. Here's my jokes from the kitchen.
So we're going to wrap it up.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
It was an absolute pleasure having you. We have some sponsors. We actually have some sponsors. Axe Body Spray. That's right. Axe Body Spray is a sponsor. Ladies, if you can't reach for the Raid, Axe Body Spray. Men, if you have a very, very limited view of what masculinity is, Axe Body Spray.
And Timmy Tom's Feezlewumps, the best Feezlewumps for your fluty fumps.
Delta Airlines, believe it or not, Delta Airlines is another one of our sponsors. Delta Airlines, if you want a chair and a hunk of metal that floats, Delta Airlines.
The number one Greek letter named airline in the world. All right, so Quills, where can the people find you?
Guys, you guys can find me at Q the Mic on Twitter, Q the letter. And also, if you want to check out our new podcast, it's The Talking Geek, and you can check that out.
And of course, Artistic Vibes at Artistic Vibes.
AV everywhere. Just look up Artistic Vibes
behind
Miami.
Behind the Outback Steakhouse near the Falls.
Off of US 1, 15 minutes from anywhere you are in Miami.
Look up Artistic Vibes Miami. One of my favorite places in Miami. Just awesome. You got it. If you haven't come here yet, you got to come.
Please
you hear
come.
That, Stelly? That's my aunt. You hear that, Stelly? Got to come by.
Come on. We'll treat you nice, I promise.
You can find me on Twitter, Mike Marianoff, Facebook, Mike Marianoff Comedy.
You can find me, Ratchet Reggie, Ratchet_Reggie on Twitter, and Black Dottis on Instagram.
All right. So until next time, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you.